From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Man Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Man Cometh!
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is a funny comment for my introduction, and now Mark is going to laugh. It's The Dice Man Cometh, talking board games and card games, their playage in Australia, and specifically Tasmania. Hello.
How are you going?
I'm good.
Oh, I'm seem very quiet there.
I don't think I've got your microphone on. Try that again. Try speaking again.
Hello, Trent. It's Mark here from the Dice Man Cover.
On the plus side, you have made it in for the start of the show.
Yes, I'm here.
What's coming up tonight?
We are going to talk about all things game-related. We're going to talk about a couple of upcoming board game conventions in Australia that as many people as possible should get along to. We're going to talk about the games we don't get to play enough of. And
we have a special guest in the studio. Oh,
she's very excited.
I am too.
She's very excited.
Our youngest guest so far.
My daughter, Pearl, will be joining us in a little while here on the Dice Man Cometh. Look, we've had a week off, so I think we need to get things off to a really, really fiery, peppery start. This is the Dillinger Escape Plan. Milking the Lizard with the Dillinger Escape Plan on the Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM with Trent and Mark. And Mark, I feel like I actually need to thank you for playing your crap music for the past 20 weeks, because I've gotten into this habit now of playing a song I like.
Playing your crap music.
To kickstart the show, and it just really just got me fired up. How are you, mate? I haven't seen you for a bit.
Yeah, look, I am really well. I've had some time off. I've got some time off work this week. School holidays, home with the kids. Been great. Been chilling out. Been not playing a lot of games.
Well, look, over the Easter break, I've just done basically nothing but play games.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. I actually got a big game of Twilight Imperium happening on Anzac Day.
Another right multi-hour challenge.
8-9 hours it was. I was a bee's proverbial away from winning. I honestly was. I just got the order of a couple of things wrong towards the end. But look, one game that I did want to talk about, if we are now talking about what we've been playing, is Pandemic.
Oh, yes.
In the Lab, the new expansion.
Oh, the sort of expansion, sort of new game, isn't it?
Because
I haven't played it.
Okay.
I hate to admit.
Pandemic, if you're not familiar with it, it's, I think, fair to say, one of the greatest board games of the modern era.
It's been really used as a gateway game because of the cooperative element where you can say to people, hey, let's all come and work together and save the world from disease.
It's made cooperative cool, and it really is a great first game for noobs. Could you explain it just quickly? What you're actually doing?
Oh, basically, you're running around as a team of individuals, collecting cards as these four different diseases are spreading across the planet.
And they look like cubes that are literally spreading across the map.
And you're curing the disease in particular cities so that outbreaks don't happen, which is where it spreads like wildfire across the world. And you know, you're trying to actually solve the puzzle of the diseases before they spread too much, and you run out of the disease cubes, basically.
Yeah, and there's a deck of cards with all the cities where the cubes appear, and when the outbreak happens, you take all those cities that you've already put cubes on, shuffle them up, and put them back on the top of the deck.
Yeah, that's a hellish mechanic, that one.
Yeah, but look, it works great. Fantastic game. There's a new version of it out with an updated map and little glass cubes instead of the original wooden ones.
The second edition.
So it looks gorgeous, and there's this new expansion in the lab. Now, previously what you had to do to cure a disease was just collect four cards of the same colour.
Yep.
Now, within the lab, you've got to actually grab some of the cubes of the disease off the board. You put them into petri dishes on this second board. You use them as samples, and you can sequence them and multiply them. You can spend actions to actually move them around on the board in the lab, as it were.
So the lab is a whole new board, is that right?
That's right. And then there are sequencing cards where if you collect a certain number of cubes of certain colours, you can use those to then cure the disease.
Yeah.
It basically makes it a lot harder.
Oh, just
a lot harder.
It's always already one of those games where there's three ways to lose and only one way to win.
And there's different difficulty settings as well. Mm, you know, you can, with the original pandemic,
yes.
you can tailor it to how difficult
right.
you want it.
Yeah.
The last thing you need is to make it
harder.
And so I am kind of scratching my head about this a little bit, because I do think one of the beauties of pandemic is its simplicity.
Yes.
And I do think this makes it a little too complex, and I'm not quite sure who this is for. Because if pandemic's a gateway game,
yes.
and I think recent history has shown that it is, why do you want to put out something that appeals more to hardcore gamers, maybe a little bit more like us?
Do you think, though, that it's about, hey, these people that have now come to the hobby through pandemic that are perhaps looking for something else, it then takes them to the next level?
Or is it just about milking the lizard? Is it just about, you know, draining more money, sucking more money out of people.
Yeah, jumping the Sharknado.
Yeah, there's also the pandemic dice game coming out later on this year as well. So, yeah, it's starting to... Something's rotten in the state of Denmark, if you ask me with this one. So, look, pandemic, great game. There's another earlier expansion called On the Brink,
yes.
which works great. This one, In the Lab, not convinced.
Okay, so you're not sure. Well, look, speaking of expansions, I played recently Dixit.
All right.
Now, so Dixit came out in 2008, and it's this basically a deck of cards of amazing art. The artist is a French woman called Marie Cadoir.
This is a real family.
And it's created by the French company Asmodee, who've done some really great games. Seven Wonders being one of them, one of your favourite games.
Don't talk to me
about Formula D, Dice Town. And basically you've got this deck of cards, and what you do is it's sort of like a guessing game. One person plays a card face down, and they give a clue, anywhere from a sound to a word to a whole sentence. And then everyone else throws in a card from their hand that they think might try and match that card. Then you shuffle them up, flip them over, and everyone's trying to guess which card you played. And one of the beauties of it is you want some people to guess your card, but not everyone, because if no one guesses or everyone guesses your card, you get zip points.
Okay.
But as long as some get it, you get points, and then other people get cards for their points. But the great thing about it, and the interesting thing when we played it, we had a couple of foreign language students.
Oh.
So there's no language on the card at all. There's no language in the game.
And it's really surreal, almost Salvador Dali looking.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the art is really freaky.
Yeah.
Some of it's really beautiful. There's so much detail in the cards that you can see almost anything in every single card.
Right.
But the sort of the language independence of it, apart from obviously the clue, made it work really well with people who English wasn't their first language. There was a little bit of translation needed from one foreign student to the other.
Yep.
I think we played seven or eight, and there's a couple of iterations. So Dixit came out in 2008 as a six-player game. They had Dixit 2 and Dixit 3, which just basically added more cards. Then they brought out Dixit Odyssey, which takes the game to 12 players. And there's sort of a second part where you're trying to guess the storyteller's card. The storyteller also gets, if you like, block one card from getting points. So they can pick the one that they think is most likely to be guessed as theirs and stop that person from getting points. So it adds
a strategic element.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it still plays 12. It still plays in about an hour.
Sorry, 12 players?
12 players, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it can play up to 12. And, you know, you just go around a number of times. There's a track there, but, you know, we called it short because it was taking a little bit longer. But, you know, the art is great. It's so easy to play. Another great beginner's game. You can play it with kids. You can play it with your grandmother. Yeah, it works really well, Dixit.
Okay. And look, that's just the start of the stuff I've been playing. I might come back and talk about this in just a sec, but I actually just fell in love all over again with a game that's kind of been gathering dust on my shelf, rediscovered it, and quite seriously, it's just reminded me of why I got into this hobby in the first place, and it's all I can think about.
Oh, fantastic.
It's all I can think about.
And this is one I know you've had a few false starts with it, haven't you?
I'll tell you all about it in just a sec. Also, coming up on the Dice Man Cometh, a little reminder about the Hobart Winter Games Fest later in the year, and BorderCon not too far around the corner in June. All that and more coming up on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Only Child by the Dead Owls there. Bit of music to bring us back on the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 with Trenton, Mark, and a special guest coming up later. But for now, Trent, there's a game that had you in tears almost before.
Why do we...
Why can't I not hear myself? Hello?
I got you on.
No, I'm over, I'm over on that one.
You're guest two. Girl guest two.
And welcome back. Mark, why is it we play games?
I've asked you this before. Because we want to beat our enemies before us and hear the lamentations of their women.
That's certainly part of it. I put it to you that a good game is a simulation of events that we can never hope to directly participate in, like ruling a kingdom, where potentially anything can happen, where there are choices to make, systems to exploit, but not too many choices, but just enough to make it feel like, oh my God, how am I going to cope with those events?
Particularly that thing, that feeling of, I've got five things I want to do and I can only do two of them. Which of those two am I going to do this turn?
That pressure. Yeah. Okay. There is a game called Warrior Knights.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Warrior Knights originally came out in 1985. It was re-released by Fantasy Flight Games in 2006, and then an expansion for it came out in 2007. Now, this is a game where you're some kind of medieval baron. You're taking over cities. You're expanding your territory, but there's other elements to it as well. It's not just about area control. There's politics. There's religion. There's exploration of foreign lands, and all of these things work together where you're competing for not just territory but influence points, little influence tokens. Okay, now the expansion that came out for this called Crown and Glory added a function where you could compete for the influence and then crown a king and then play for just a little bit longer to see if someone could usurp the king.
It sounds very Game of Thrones.
It is Game of Thrones in a box, and I've put this to you before that this has that Game of Thrones experience.
Is this more of a Game of Thrones game than Game of Thrones game is?
Look... Oh, it's a little difficult.
Without the houses.
It's a little difficult because I haven't played the Game of Thrones card game that you love.
I know. I mean the board game.
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I guess the first thing to say about this is I've had it for a while. It's a Fantasy Flight game, so it goes without saying that it's got an absolutely crap rule book. It's to be expected,
isn't it?
It's just hopeless. Very, very difficult to explain, but there's only... So I'm not going to even try and explain how it all works.
However, don't I seem to remember, because I haven't actually played this game, but I've watched the start of this game at your place, being sort of bemused and thought, I don't know if it's a game I want to play, but I noticed that there was a rule sheet made up by that fantastic Australian designer, Universal Head.
Universal Head, we love his work on Board Game Geek.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And as a segue, I think you're going to be speaking to him soon, aren't you?
We are trying to put that interview together.
Right.
Yes, we are. So look, that's a good place to start for your rule summary on this. And it's a classic case of one of those games where if you do put the effort in, the reward is there. Let me try and explain how a turn actually works. Now, each player's got a deck of action cards, which you know direct your armies. There's mobilized forces where you can move your armies around the board. You can draft soldiers, try and get more mercs into your armies. You can rally support to get political influence, power in the church, or to enrich your knowledge. You can even become the head of the church or the chairman of the assembly and direct the parliament of the day. The scholar gets special powers in accessing technologies like gunpowder and stuff like that as well. So when you're planning your turn, you've got these cards. There's three decks on the board. You can place two of your cards in each of those three decks.
Yeah.
Every player does that. They then all get shuffled up. Each of those three decks is shuffled up together with a couple of neutral event cards.
Oh.
Right, so you know what it is you're going to do in each sequence, but you don't know exactly when it's going to happen. So it's a kind of planned randomness.
Chaos, yeah. is it also the case that then you might want to do A, B, and C, and what ends up happening is you do C, B, and A?
Not quite. You just don't know. If you're trying to invade an enemy's territory, you don't know if you're going to have the upper hand on him or not. You know, it's just the way the events come out. But you do know, more or less, and there's some cards like Versatile Action that give you a little bit of flexibility. Play those a little bit later in the turn because you just don't know what crap's going to go down. down. Now, here's the thing. You don't, as those cards come up one at a time, you don't actually get them back. So that makes the next turn even more difficult because you get limited choices.
So they're one-offs.
The card, well, not quite. They're assigned to special phase areas on the board, which are a little bit like mini-games in themselves.
Oh, yes.
Those areas get triggered by a certain amount of cards that are on there, which is twice the number of players.
Mm-hmm.
So it scales up and down because it plays 2 to 6 players, this game. And they're like mini-games in themselves, these things. So there's the assembly. When that triggers, that's voting for a series of political agendas that are complete game changers,
yes.
A lot like the assembly in Twilight Imperium, where all the different enemies get together to, you know, talk about...
This game has battle, it has intrigue, it has religion, it has politics.
It's Twilight Imperium in less than half the time in a medieval setting.
Mm.
Okay, there's another one of the mini games is the mercenary draft, mm-hmm. where you're just trying to recruit different nationalities of mercs into your armies to you know, boost up your regular troops.
Yep.
But then, of course, there's another thing that happens that gets triggered every now and then, and that is the wages phase, because you've got to pay for your bloody troops. They've got a man's got to eat.
They go on strike.
No, they desert. They leave you.
And I did brush up a bit on this game today because I haven't actually played it and watched the Shut Up and Sit Down review.
Yep.
And he was talking about the Lombards, recruiting the Lombards.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, remind me of what Lombard stands for. But he did lots of money, but a real deadhead or something like that. But Quinn's described this game as players bouncing off each other like ping pong balls in a dryer.
In his typically effusive way.
Right. Is it that interactive?
Well, absolutely. And you add to this technologies, the expeditions. Oh, the expeditions. So a random event comes up. Hey, we're going to fund an expedition to China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to be pretty risky, but if everybody wants to get in on this, you can just pay a bit of money and you might get some of it back, or the ship might sink and you might get nothing.
Oh, really?
So it's gambling.
Yes.
Yeah. There's other overseas invasions, random events. Look, like I said, Game of Thrones in a box, Warrior Knights. Hard work, great rewards, and it's just got me falling in love with not just the game, but the whole hobby all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, because we're having game night, you know, after the radio show like we normally do.
Yes.
I'm hoping to maybe twist someone's arm to play it tonight.
Oh, it sounds like the sort of game you've got to play when you've got a plan.
I got a plan.
Ah, yes, the beautiful melodic tones of David Bridie and my friend the Chocolate Cake. He's got a plan, which is what all good gamers have.
To get to an event
yes.
near them
when yes.
and if possible.
It's time to put that plan together and to put it into action almost.
You're going to BorderCon?
I am.
BorderCon is a gathering in Albury. Of all places.
And Wodonga.
So I guess the idea is that it gets people from Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney and Canberra.
Mm.
Canberra in particular.
And Hobart.
And Hobart, yeah. So we went along for the first time last year.
Yeah, then there was the three of us, you, me and Zombie Carl, and we sort of flew the Tassie flag there. Everyone loved playing games with us, and we loved playing games with them. Made some good friends,
and
then came down to Hobart.
Yeah.
That's right. That was even before we had a podcast. Imagine what it's going to be like this year. Now we're famous. Yeah, so that's 7th to the 9th of June, the Queen's Birthday long weekend. It basically starts on the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, the Monday in the Hume Inn. Is that right? Yeah.
The Hume
Inn.
So, look, if you want to get along to that, you'd better hurry up and book some accommodation.
Yeah, I believe that hotel is virtually, if not already, completely booked out. But there are some other accommodations available in the area, I believe. But last year there would have been 250 people, something like that.
Yeah, 250.
Just a fantastic free-form event where you basically get to play pretty much anything you like.
Very
with
family
you
friendly
like. Yeah.
During the day as well.
Yeah, they had a kids' corner.
Yep, and I forgot what I was going to say about it. Aside from just it was a lot of fun.
And
I wish I could go because I'm not sure I can.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we said at the time was it inspired us to grow our Hobart annual Winter Game Fest that we've had for the past 3 years.
That's right.
To a 2-day event coming this year in Hobart Winter Games Fest 4.
Because of course people are traveling.
Game harder.
People are. That's good. People are travelling interstate to go to these events, like BorderCon, and we would like to put the Hobart Winter Games Fest on the national map in the same way. So this year, what we've done is we're working together with our local game store, Area 52, to be a part of Devil Island Con, or DICON for short. This has got all sorts of events happening over the weekend of the 9th and the 10th of August. Amongst them, Warhammer Fantasy and Warhammer 40K State Championships.
Ooh.
And we're going to be talking Warhammer on the show next week.
Oh, yes.
For you miniatures fans. There's going to be Magic tournaments. There's going to be Yu-Gi-Oh! Thank you. Tournaments. I've never played the game. Don't understand it, but I'm told it's popular with the kiddies.
Or like Pokemon for slightly older kids.
Richard Kennywell, who we've had as a guest on this show.
Richard, the RPG queen.
He's running an RPG challenge.
Ooh.
It sounds like, you know that movie Cube? Right, it kind of sounds a little bit like that with just random runes. He's going to try and kill as many players as he possibly can. Details for DICON are available on www.area52.com.au or www.hogs.org.au.
Yes.
Now, also, there's an accommodation deal because this whole thing's happening at the Best Western Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In Bathurst Street in the middle of Hobart. Now, you can get yourself a deal on the accommodation if you do want to fly down to Hobart for it, $139, and that's a nice room,
let me
tell you.
And it's a very central location for people who are looking for an excuse to come to Hobart, check out Mona, do some stuff around the place, go up Mount Wellington. It's so central, it's so easy to get around, and two days of board games thrown in there.
But there is a code word if you want that price.
A code word.
A secret code word when you're booking. You have to use the booking code Ellison Hawker.
Oh, wasn't he a famous convict or something like that in Tasmania?
They're the guys that run the Area 52 shop.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's all I know. So that's Devil Island Con, and if we don't see you there, we'll hope to see you at BorderCon a little bit sooner.
And look, we were talking about one of the things about game cons is you get to play those games that you don't get to play enough of. We asked this question on Facebook, what games are you not getting to play enough of? We had quite a few answers. For me, I broke it down to three categories. There's games that I've invested too much time and too much money in that I'm never going to reap what I've paid. Things like Game of Thrones, the living card game, Thunderstone, X-Wing, the miniatures game.
Hey, man, you've got a Game of Thrones card game trophy. I'd call that reaping the rewards.
Yeah. But, look, there's so many cards. Then there's the long games, the games that you don't get to. Like, I can't wait to BorderCon. I'm going to try and get another game of Here I Stand in the Great War game. There's the TI3s. There's the Twilight Struggle. There's Battlestar Galactica. And then there's the games that you love and you just want to play again and again and again and again and again. Like Race for the Galaxy, Innovation, Nothing Personal, Time's Up. Those ones, they just take a little bit longer, and so they don't come out that often. What about you?
Myself personally, I would have put Warrior Knights in that category until recently. I'm hoping to flog the crap out of them now. For me, Galaxy Trucker and Space Alert fall squarely in this category of games that don't hit the table enough. And I think in that case, that's the same designer, of course. His name again?
Vlad Fartel.
Thank you. Who designs games that are just a little bit on the demented side of complex, and they resist easy explanation. If you know either of those games, though, if you've played them, you know they're worthwhile. Merchants and Marauders is another one.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes.
Look, this is a...
Sid Meier's Pirates in a board game.
Look, I do love the look of this thing so much, but it is pure Ameri trash, and again, a rotten rule book. I just can't get my head around having to explain what you actually need to... Because it's really just a question of wandering around, bumping into random stuff, isn't it?
And look, for me, I must admit, before we get back to some more of those questions or answers from the listener, it's those rule books that stop me from bringing these games because I'm terrible at explaining them. I'm all over the place like a scattergun.
Yeah, well, maybe that's another whole other topic of conversation, the worst rule book. So, look, with this week's question, what games don't you get to play enough and for whatever reason? Thank you, Sarah Matthews, who wrote in and said, Zombicide and Super Dungeon Explorer, too hard to find the time.
Oh, and because they're both those games with massive maps, miniatures.
Lots of miniatures.
Stuff over a huge table.
Lots lots and lots of very attractive little miniatures.
They look great, They're really great eye candy, those games.
Medusa in Love has nominated Vanuatu as a game she doesn't get to play enough, because I need four others who are up for an evil time who won't sook when they miss out.
Oh, because that's one of those really tough Euro games. I haven't played it, but it's very much like Archipelago that we play.
Is that right?
But, you know, being really, really mean to each other is what I understand. In terms of the choices, not in terms of, like, interaction, because it is a Euro game, but it's one of those ones where, you know, you've got 20 things you want to do in one turn and you can only pick one. It's just, you know, brain fodder.
Sam Turvey has nominated Machine of Death. It seems like a fun, creative game, he says, but if you're trying to play it with a group who aren't fast-thinking or creative on the spot, the game stops.
Ooh.
That's often the case with those kind of social interaction type games. You really do need to pick the right crowd. As we've discussed before, a lot of gamers are a little bit more introverted, a little bit more socially awkward, let's face it. Yeah, you do need to prick your crowd with something like
that. And it's amazing how you can improve a game with the addition of just a simple ingredient like alcohol.
Julius has nominated Netrunner as a game he doesn't get to play enough. The rules and the text density put people off. Alas, there's another Fantasy Flight rules book.
Oh, yes.
And I'd have to agree with Netrunner, except for a different reason. I'm not playing it enough because I'm at the point now where there's a few of us who are playing, but we need to take the next step and start designing decks. And frankly, I'm afraid.
Oh, so you mean...
I know I'm just going to get creamed.
So because you haven't played it for a little while, then just like this Tassie band, you might be slipping backwards.
What a charming little segue there, Mark. Charming segue. Well done. That was awful.
I was going to say a couple of great Tassie tracks there. First of all, we had Slipping Backward by the Like Giants. And then that last lovely track, Therese Milhouse with A Soldier's Wife.
I'm sure someone must like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, we have a special treat for everyone. We often say, you know, the little people don't get to say enough about games and about what's happening today. So today we have with us one of the little people herself. A little people has come into the studio here.
That's right, because little people are the future.
They are. Feed them well and let them lead the way, is that what they say?
Can I please introduce my daughter, Pearl, to the radio? The Dice Men Cometh welcomes you, Pearl.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Pearl. How old are you, for
I'm
anyone
seven.
Who doesn't... Right, and... you know that Daddy comes in here and does this radio show every week. Now, is that embarrassing for you?
No.
No? It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's cool.
I've got a small window where she still thinks it's cool. Small window. And, Pearl, can you explain the way Daddy plays games at home and maybe how I've tried to get you interested in it? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well... lots of the time, I really get to watch Dad a lot.
And occasionally we play something.
Yes.
If I say that it's simple enough.
Yes.
So what are some of your favourite games that you like to play?
Some of my favourite games, King of Tokyo, Carcassonne.
Carcassonne, I
always beat you.
Well, I do need to publicly admit this, because we played that at the 12 Hours of Gaming for International Tabletop Day, and you did beat me.
Yes.
You didn't just beat me, you caned me by about 50-plus points.
Yes.
And I made you surrender because we were running out of time and claimed a victory. At the time, that was possibly wrong of me to do that as a parent.
So it's good to know that not only are your friends beating you, Trent, but your child is beating you as well.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Pearl, so you wanted to talk about one game in particular, though, because I said if you can come in and review a game and tell us what you like, and I was surprised by what you picked.
Yeah.
What's your choice?
City of Horror.
What? I thought this was going to be a family-friendly segment.
It is a family sort of game.
Yeah.
It's about feeding families to zombies.
It's about zombie feeding.
Ah.
So City of Horror is a very nice looking game about hordes of zombies invading a city.
And you have to go into, you actually have to choose a spot in some, like, building, and you choose who's going to get thrown to the zombies.
Ah.
You vote for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who always gets thrown to the zombies when you're playing?
Dad.
That's right.
Hey, when I played this game, we threw your dad to the zombies as well, actually.
Well, there is a lot of me, and I am, you know, let's face it, gorgeous and tasty.
Oh, yes. Num-num-num-num.
Pearl, why are zombies cool?
Because they eat you.
Aren't you worried about the impending zombie apocalypse?
Nope.
And the end of civilization as we know it?
Nope, because it doesn't exist.
Okay, so clearly able to separate fiction from reality. That's a plus.
Excellent, yes.
That's a plus. And you're not bothered by feeding Dad to the zombies at all?
No, I'm not bothered.
It's a little bit unfair, though, because, I mean, really, when we're all playing with a cute little seven-year-old, who's going to vote to throw her to the zombies? It's not fair.
Probably. probably no one.
But, so, Pearl, life isn't fair, is it? So it's a great example of how life plays out.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling me, how could this game be a little bit better? I mean, because it's a very cool looking game, isn't it?
Could be better if there was a big zombie boss.
Oh, and the zombie overlord.
I would like it if there was, like,
a zombie teddy bear.
Yeah. Zombie teddy bear.
And you're also telling me you'd like it more if there were more buildings and.
Yeah, more. Even though there's a load, like, four buildings on each corner. Mm-hmm. I would like it, like, to have little walls around it.
Oh, maybe nice. Maybe you could make a fan-made expansion of a City of Horror, and you could make, like, suburbs of horror that you could add on to the end. You could have, like, Gagebrook on one end and Warrain on one end.
We could have a local library. References. Library.
You could have a university library.
I'm thinking, because we mentioned Zombicide earlier tonight, because that's a game with a hell of a lot of miniatures, and that's got little buildings and stuff in it.
It does, and it's sort of expandable, because you build the board with different tiles and things. Yeah.
So that's another game that's got zombies in it, which is hideously expensive, and frankly, from what I've heard, not particularly good.
Yeah, it seems to do in like 3 or 4 hours what this game does in 90 minutes.
Yeah, look, the City of Horror is a great game, and the box does say 14+.
Whatever.
And does some of the artwork upset you? Because there are a few things with zombies being shot, and I think there's a chainsaw card and a bit of blood on some of those.
Nope.
Doesn't bother you?
Nope.
Because, look, it's all fairly cartoony.
I think
it's safe to say.
Do you have your favourite characters, Pearl?
Yeah, I do.
Because there's a whole bunch of different characters, aren't there?
I do have my favourite characters.
Yeah? Tell us about a few of them.
So, my first one, I think...
Just lean forward a bit.
Lean forward into the microphone, Dale.
Yeah.
I think my first one would be... which one is it?
There's so many to choose from.
It's the punk.
The punk girl, yeah.
Yes.
That'd be right.
That was my first one I chose, I think.
Okay, now, Pearl, are you comfortable with the idea that growing up playing these kinds of board games, that they're a little bit nerdy? You know your dad's a bit of a nerd.
I'm a nerd.
You're happy with that?
I'm happy that I'm a nerd.
You're okay for me to raise you in the nerd way?
I'm a nerd.
In the nerd family way?
all of my friends are nerds.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
And I am too.
Because nerds rule.
Yeah, nerds rule.
Give me five. All right. Pearl, thank you very much.
No, do I have to come off?
Hey, Pearl, we'll let you come back in at the end and say goodbye. How's that? But I think our listeners can probably tell that you are a nerd taught by experts.
That was Paul Kelly on the Dice Men Live.
Good work, Pearl.
That's so
exciting. Yeah, Trent, Mark and Pearl tonight. And look, I promise that this is the only case of nepotism that's gonna manifest.
Probably.
On the show, okay? And look, that about wraps it up for another week. It's been good to get back in the saddle after a week off.
Yeah. It feels like we... It feels like we had ages off.
And we've just actually reapplied with Edge Radio. It's been 6 months.
Yeah, sorry to all those people who protested and wanted us to stop, but we didn't listen.
Yeah, so this is episode 22 tonight. We've been doing it 6 months already.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to come back for another 6 months.
Fantastic.
That's assuming that the guys at Edge Radio accept our application.
I wonder if we'll ever find the missing episode.
Ah, oh, the one
episode
that,
14.
Yeah, look, the one that disappeared from our podcast stream due to a power failure at the University of Tasmania that night.
We were hot that night too.
That sounds pretty disappeary. It disappeared.
That was probably our best night of radio ever, and it's lost.
It's lost forever.
Lost forever.
What did you do?
We were just generally awesome.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
And a reminder to people that we are available on iTunes as a podcast without the music. Just search The Dice Men Cometh in Games and Other Hobbies. We are actually featured this week in the new and noteworthy section. I think it's more about being noteworthy than new, actually, because we've had a few new reviews. So thank you to those people that have reviewed us on iTunes and said lovely things about us.
Quite seriously, I was just looking at it the other night just going, what?
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. And likewise, people on Facebook, you know, we really appreciate all the comments that people make on Facebook. Yeah. And look, one thing, if you're interested, is... we're happy to play the role of the game sommelier and suggest the game for you. If you've got a particular group you're looking to play a game with that you're not sure about, hey, hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thedicemencometh, and say, hey, Trent, you know, I've got a group of morticians. What sort of game should I play with them?
I also specialise in really, really ugly solutions to awkward social situations.
Yes.
So if anyone has, like, a problem player... that they want dealt with.
Yes.
You know, let me know. All right.
I remember that night you dealt with that smelly guy. That was particularly attractive.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
So, Pearl, we've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to say to the listener before we go? Would you like to tell us a story about Dad, maybe?
Oh, no.
Remember that funny time that Dad was playing that game?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Which game?
Well, the funniest one. What's the funniest story about Dad playing a game where he really lost it?
Probably the one where I ate too much chocolate and just had a complete sugar crash.
What was that one?
No, that's just about every night.
Every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So, which game are you talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about, Pearl. It's fine.
Sorry, Pearl, I was trying to trick you into telling a funny story about your dad.
Mark's trying to get you to embarrass me. But it hasn't worked, has it?
Tell me what the story is now.
I can tell you lots of them, Pearl, but we wouldn't be able to repeat them on the radio because they might offend the listener. But
let's get out of here.
There was the time when he made the chocolate pizza.
No!
And then we made us all sick. Yeah,
you remember
pizza.
The chocolate pizza I made?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had some.
I had some. That was the yummy pizza I made.
Inspired by Epic Mealtime, that gave everybody diabetes.
I loved it. I didn't get it.
Pearl, it's been lovely to have you on the show. We really appreciate it. And if you're really good, we might have you back sometime in the future, okay?
Woo!
So you better say thanks to Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, lest I be accused of favouritism.
That's right. So you've been listening to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 with Trent and Mark.
Next week, Pearl. Next week we're talking wargaming miniatures and Warhammer with the head of the Van Diemen's gaming club.
Oh, yes.
That's right. That's next week.
Fantastic. Yay. We're going to leave you with another fabulous local artist, Courtney Barnett. I saw her supporting Billy Bragg. She was fantastic. Sat right behind her mum and dad, and they didn't yell out nasty things at all during her act. Here she is with her Avant Gardener. See you next week.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.